Able to be here and glad for those that have been away that have made it back. We are finishing up today our series on walking on our own two feet. I know it's been a long series, but I myself have found it truly beneficial to see the growing process that God really requires. It's not a suggested process. It is a required process. So the idea of starting with the milk of the word that we covered and moving up to becoming mature Christians, the idea of all the things that we were to add unto ourselves, and that was the bulk of this series. You know, we talked about adding knowledge and godliness and brotherly kindness and patience, love, you know, all of those things. Then we talked about the fruits of the Spirit that we're commanded to add, some that overlapped with those others that we had, but we also had the ideal of kindness and gentleness and meekness, the ideal of joy and peace, you know, and the ideal of what Christians should truly, you know, have with that joy and that peace. And I'd mentioned when we started this series, and I've actually at the end of this lesson, I got the slide that I discussed it on at the very end, that I discussed that there was one final point that we would need to wrap up if we were going to discuss walking on our own two feet. Brother Wayne actually had a very good prayer on this. He mentioned glad to have others that we could depend on, talk to, lean upon, you know, in tough times. And he also prayed that we as individuals would become or be the ones that others could depend on also to bear our burdens. And that is the lesson today. The ideal of being able to grow to the point of helping others. And there's some different aspects of that I want to cover. Different verses that we have in the scriptures that follow this point. You know, I don't just create a lesson if it's not backed by scripture. We've got verses that talks about bearing. We've got verses that talks about admonishing. We've got verses that talks about the care that we should have for one another, being able to refresh one another, the ideal of giving comfort unto one another. And I'm going to do the very same thing in this lesson that I've been doing all along with the adding. There's no reason for us to just say, okay, the verse says to bear, admonish, care, refresh, comfort, and not fully understand what those words mean. We understand what our, say, New Age type Webster dictionary tells us on these things. But what was being spoke of in the Greek? What was being spoke of if we went back to the Hebrew? What were the writers themselves taking and wanting to be done? What did the Holy Spirit lead those men to put down on paper for us to become? So the ideal of us growing, we got to continue to grow. Like I said, that's a command to grow. And growth is not going to end with the series. You know, we need to understand that. Yeah, the series will be done today. But our growth process is far from over. That is until the day we die, we must be growing. We must be continuing. But as the ideal of maturity, we all must get to the point that we can take and help others. We can't always stay in a point that we're constantly needing to be helped. Now, there will be times in our life, no matter how mature we are, that we'll need a ear. We'll need a shoulder to cry on. We'll need a hand. But we should also be the one that can reach out and give that hand. Let's start with bear. You know, the word bear, 941, they're in the Strong. I get all of these from my old Strong Concordance. I just think it does it the best justice on the words and the in-depth, you know, work of that. Again, I'm far from being able to speak it properly, but bastazo is there this word bear. It means to lift, to endure, to sustain, to take up. All right, now we just read this, and if you will, turn with me there, because I want to look at some points there. Evan just read this, but Romans 15, and I got just verse 1 on the screen just for space. Verse 1 says, we then, and this is the King James I've got on the screen, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So part of this is the ideal of not putting self first, you know, the ideal of not having pride, but thinking of others, you know, also that can come into what we've talked about the love, brotherly kindness, all those things. If we have those, if we've added enough of that to ourselves, we'll be able to bear the infirmities of the weak. But I want us to continue to read, you know, as we go on. One of the main points that's here in the beginning of chapter 15 is that our bearing, our enduring, our lifting, our sustaining, our taking up is to mirror that of what Christ did for each of us. All right, what we do for one another, this ideal of bearing, to take care, to help, to lift, to give this extra hand, it must be on the same basis that Christ himself did. Look at verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. It's the ideal that Jesus took and lifted that burden off of us. He is able to sustain us. He is able to take us up in our weakest moment and lift us up to something much better. He was willing to die upon that cross for our sins, to establish his kingdom, to deliver his word, so that each and every one of us has a chance to drag ourselves up out of the mud, the filth of sin, to stand on our own two feet. And when it comes to us taking and bearing, nourishing, cherishing, you know, taking care of others, we have to have the same attitude that he had of not pleasing himself, but doing this for others. Others benefit. Verse 5, and I like the way the English Standard, you read the English Standard, right, Evan? Can you get that to read for me again from verse 5 in a minute? The New King James says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded." What is he like-minded to? Like-minded to Christ. Be just like Christ in this toward one another. Now, what is the English Standard? I like the wording.
May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus.
All right, so see, the same thing as Jesus, being like-minded or just like Jesus did. But notice the word that we're using here, this bear, that we had in verse 1. To bear, to, you know, that we that are strong to bear the infirmities. Notice one of the words in there is endure. And that's exactly what the English Standard is using there in verse 5. The God of this endurance, willing to continually bear. Not just put up with somebody one time. Not just to help somebody through something one time. Not just to give your ear to somebody one time. But is a constant. We are here for each other forever. We're to constantly be willing to help and encourage and strengthen and uplift. And notice, you know, the other one was encouragement. You know, the New King James says patience for the endurance and comfort for the encouragement. And it's there. It's the ideal that I am here for you. I'll be here for you today. I'll be here for you tomorrow. I'll be here for you next month, next year. I will be here for you as long as you need me to be. That is what we're talking about in this lesson. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The ideal of what Christ has set up, his commands that he's given, the ideal of us being the church, his kingdom, his body, to be just like him in this mindset of what he did for us, we are to bear one another's burdens. Again, that is take them up, lift them off of others. Sometimes people just need a year for you to listen, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's an hour, just be there for a year. Just, and I'm talking about this, I know I got that Kentucky accent, it sounds like Y-E-A-R, but I'm talking about these big old Dumbo ears I got. Be a year for somebody even. Just let them talk it through and pick that burden off of them just for a minute. You know, lift, sustain, take up. Now, sometimes that might be greater than just being that year for somebody, just listening to somebody. Maybe that is taking and you know, helping someone out, giving an extra hand, sitting down and talking and teaching and instructing. Sometimes that might even be pointing out they're wrong. We're going to talk about that because that's within these words as well. The next one that I want to talk about is admonish. It's 3560, and there's no way I'm going to get this one right. No theato, but it's put in mind to caution, to reprove gently, to warn. So when we were using these words that are in the same, seem like the same ideal of you know, helping or encouraging or taking care of, some of this is also the ideal of when we're bearing with others, it is to caution, you know, to put in mind, okay, brother, you know this is wrong. Brother, you need to correct that. Or be careful on the path you're going down. Think about what's about to happen. You know, but notice that the wording there, when we talk about admonish, is reprove gently as well. Remember, I talked about that when we talked about kindness and meekness and gentleness. That's how the Lord treats us. He really treats us with kid gloves, doesn't he? He does. He treats us with this open hand, with open arms, with an open heart. He's wanting us to come back to him. He's doing everything that he could. Excuse me, the teaching, the reproving, the correction, and all those things so he can welcome us in with open arms. And we've got to do that with one another. We got to point out our wrongs. We got to point out others' wrongs, but we need to do it with this gentle spirit. The ideal of, brother, I'm coming to you because I love you. And you'll get that, and you'll be able to do that if your brother or sister knows they can depend upon you. If your brother and sister know they can call and talk with you, or they can ask you to sit down and talk on the front pew or on the back pew or in the car or on the way to the restaurant or whatever, if they know they've got that connection with you, then you can say, you need to watch where you're going. You need to watch what you're a part of. You need to correct where you're at the moment. Make that U-turn. Repent. Change. Fix. But you got to have that connection. And that only comes from the ideal of bearing with others, you know, lifting those burdens, and then being willing to lift those from you and help you as well. There in Romans 15, verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. So here, you know, Paul's writing to the Romans, and he told verse 1 of this chapter, you know, bear with one another and do so in a manner just like Christ has really bore for all of mankind. Be like Christ in that. Understand the endurance and patience and kindness of God. You know, and then he says, and you know, I'm persuaded that you are capable of goodness. That goes back to that bearing, the goodness that you can bestow upon one another, but also that you're able to admonish. That means you are able to correct one another in a gentle spirit to get everybody to heaven. You know, we don't take and beat someone over the head with their sin and run somebody off, but we point it out. We say, you know, this is wrong. You can't live in this. You can't continue in this. I love you. I want you to change. I want you to come back. I want you to be God's once again. 2 Thessalonians 3:15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You know, and too often when someone falls into sin, yeah, we treat the individual as an enemy, not the sin as the enemy. The sin is the enemy. No doubt the sin is what's going to take and put that soul into hell. But your brother, your sister, those you should love and understand that they have tripped, they have failed, they are down in sin, and you are the one to lift them up, to raise them up, to sustain them with the truth. And you're going to do that with this gentle, loving kindness that you should do. The next word that pops up in the scripture with this ideal of bearing and taking care of one another is the ideal of care. Now, this word care is along the same line of being careful. It's 3309. Mary Manio, again, I'm terrible with speaking the Greek. I'm pretty good at studying it up, but terrible at speaking it. But it is to be anxious or take thought. You know, we got this in another verse says, do not be careful, talking about worried and anxious about the things of this world. But it's the opposite of this. The ideal of us not being, you know, anxious or worried about everything in the world, we are to have that about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be anxious. We are to be mindful. We are to take thought of them. We are to be worried about them. Why? Because a soul is eternal. You know, he can be lost. That soul can be cast into hellfire. The things of this world, they are meant to be burned up. They are meant to go away. They're meant to rot. They are meant to disappear. That's what the Lord created them for. He created the things of this world for us to live in and among so that we can take and rise out of that to go and be with him. But for those that lose their souls, they're lost eternally. That's why we care. That's why we're to have this care, to take thought, to be anxious, to be careful of our others, as in our brothers and sisters and their souls. We're looking out for them. We're paying attention to them. We're encouraging them. We're strengthening them. We're lifting them up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. And that's the idea that we take thought one for another. We're putting each other above our own self. We're thinking and taking care of one another. Now, I had a lesson here not long back about this as well. And we got to understand that if you're going to be the individual that keeps everybody at arm length, then you can't expect everybody to come and be mindful and take care of you if you're never closer to them. You know, you can be that individual that you don't want nobody to help you. You don't want nobody to talk to. You don't want to discuss anything with anybody. But then when you turn around, you actually need something, and you're mad at somebody because they've not come and done that for you. Well, nobody even knows what you have need of because you've kept them so far away from you the whole time. Then you say, well, so-and-so, you know, they'll help him. Well, so-and-so is always there for everybody. So-and-so is always checking up on everybody. So-and-so is mindful. They have care for their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and that would come drop back to them. Notice the end of that verse. The same care one for another. And if we back all the way back up to Romans 15 and 1, the ideal of bearing for one another, not to please ourselves. We're thinking of others more than we're thinking of ourselves. Sometimes the ideal of thinking of others is to let them in. Let them draw closer to you. Let them come and help you and talk with you, and you talk with them. To have that connection so we can be the same and have the same care one for another. Comfort is another word that's used in this process of bearing and helping one another. 3874, paraklesis, and there is another word that goes with this coming up. Consolation, exhortation, or entreaty. And, you know, I'm a math teacher, so I'm not the best on words, but entreaty means to ask earnestly, to beseech, to implore, to beg. All right, so when you start thinking about this and you're thinking, okay, how does that work with you know, others helping? The ideal of consolation, exhortation, to earnestly ask. You know, sometimes that is even going to the point to where you've got those that keep you at arm's length. You don't give up on them. You earnestly seek them out. You continue to beseech. You continue to implore. You continue to beg. Throughout the scriptures, I see the Lord begging us. I see that. I see that with the children of Israel throughout the Old Testament over and over, and sending prophet after prophet after prophet, sending his word among the people, demonstrating his power to all. You know, just the begging, be my people. Be ye holy as I am holy. Let me walk among you. You know, to the point of just begging, earnestly beseeching and imploring. We've got to have that same feeling for others. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So here, you know, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he's thanking them for the comfort, the consolation, the exhortation, you know, all that they have done on his behalf. But then he mentions one more thing. You know, he's really concerned about Titus. Titus is a lot like Timothy. He's a younger man. You know, the Apostle Paul is taking him on, but he's also put him in some really hard positions of things to deal with, like putting him here at Corinth, sending him here with different duties to do. And he says, you know, we have joy for the joy of Titus. Why is he happy for Titus? Because of the way they treated him. When he come in among them, it says his spirit was refreshed by you all. That's really how we should feel when we gather ourselves together. When we come for Bible classes, when we come for worship, and we come for these lessons that we have, when we come for singing training, we come for our lectureships and our gospel meetings, we come together and we get our spirits refreshed. We feel this comfort. Why should we feel this comfort? Because we go back to the last verse, because we're the same mind. We have the same comfort for one another. I don't belong out there. I don't belong in my job. I don't belong with some of the family we have. But I do belong with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are like-minded. We have the same goals. We have the same mindset. We are going to heaven together. And we get comfort from that. Another one, 39:31. Perigoria. Consolation and comfort. Very similar. Different word that's used there in the Greek, but same thing. Consolation and comfort to be given. Colossians 4:11. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. See, there's that idea of how can we have comfort? Because we are fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Paul is talking about, you know, Paul's strong. Think about that. Paul, you know, strong as he is, an apostle of Christ, chosen of Christ, sent out to do the jobs that he's given by Christ himself. With great knowledge, the man is very knowledgeable, even without the blessings of the Holy Spirit and all that's been bestowed upon him. But he needs his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Why do you think in letter after letter after letter, he names these individuals? I mean, there's just this huge list of all these people, these homes that he's been in, you know, people that have the churches in their homes, those that have just done little things for him like clothing and food and different things, because he understands we need one another. We are not going to survive this world if we do not have one another for this consolation, comfort, strengthening that we need, because we are fellow workers in the kingdom of God, and we are fighting against the evils of this world out there. We should take and have this comfort. And that's why we should have such a deep desire to come and be together with one another. That's why David says, you know, he's glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. David could escape the worries of being king and the worries of the people, the worry of his family, because he could take and go and be focused on worshiping God. That's what we've got to be. We've got to have this. Another word for comfort, 38:70. Parakileo means to beseech, comfort, exhort, pray. Notice some of the same words are coming up over and over. Completely different words in our English, but the relationship is the same in these. We just had beseech a couple words back. The idea of seeking out to comfort, seeking out to exhort, seeking out a way to pray for others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. You know, if you hardly ever attend, you hardly ever come together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you really lose every bit of that connection, every bit of the comfort, every bit of the edifying, every bit of the strengthening. You lose all of that. You've removed that from yourself when you do that. You don't have it. And then to expect others to try to reach out to you when you are not even available, that's very hard. But notice the word beseech is still there, just like I brought up earlier. Just because someone else removes themselves doesn't mean we remove them. We need to seek them out and try to give that comfort and exhortation and definitely continue to pray. Sometimes that's all we've got is prayer. Sometimes people in their situations, whether it's health or family problems or other troubles, sometimes the only thing we can do is pray. Make sure we're praying for one another. You know, put it in God's hands, because his hands can do all things. Our hands can do very little. And sometimes just knowing that you have the prayers of brothers and sisters in Christ is the only thing that can keep you standing your own self. Another word is refreshed. 404. And Pasucho, and I'm pretty sure I got that one wrong. That's a little more like Spanish saying that one. But it means to relieve, to refresh. To relieve or to refresh. Again, that's the ideal of being there for one another, whether it's to hear, whether it's to teach, whether it's to instruct, whether it's to correct. But it's the ideal of relieving a burden. Sin is a burden. the things of this life, they're burdens. You know, sometimes just what's on your heart is a burden. You just got to get it off. And then to refresh, that's the ideal of strengthening. And we've already seen that refresh. The ideal, like Titus was refreshed. Paul's been refreshed. We've got to be refreshed. That's that renewing of the mind, renewing of our convictions, being able to say, okay, I am going to make it to heaven. I'm not going to let this world beat me down and hold me down. I am going to get there. And I know I'm going to get there because I got brothers and sisters that's going to help me get there. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. We just got done studying this in our monthly business, our monthly men's class on Thursday, the last Thursday night of the month. And we talked about Onesiphorus here and how even when Paul is in chains, others left him. Others abandoned him. Others did not want to be seen coming and talking to Paul. Why? Because most likely they're going to get put in chains as well for being a Christian. But he says, Onesiphorus, he oft refreshed me. That means Onesiphorus came to him, even in chains, even with the threat of being locked up himself, being brutalized himself, he still came to Paul and refreshed him. Refreshed him. Strengthened him, encouraged him. Another word that's there is 373. And Apau, P-A-U-O, take ease, refresh, rest. Philemon 1, or Philemon verse 7. There's only one there. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I've mentioned this in the past. There's just certain people that you come in contact with within the church. You know, going and visiting, gospel meetings, or in my case, going to other groups, you know, when they ask for a gospel meeting. And you just come in contact with people, and as soon as you see them, you just feel better. I mean, you just know that being in their presence, you're better for it. You know, I've seen some walk through the door, coming to visit. You just lit up. You're refreshed by these individuals. And that's what Paul is writing here. He says, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. By just doing what's right, for being there for others, by just knowing, Paul just knowing that the right thing is going to be done. He says, the saints are refreshed by thee. That is what we are to be for one another. We are to be the individual that when others come, they are refreshed by us. They are strengthened by us. They are encouraged by us. They want to be in our presence because they feel the good that it's doing for them. And then if I'm going to be that individual, then you're going to be that individual. I feed off that from you. You feed off of it from me. We're all strengthened and sustained by that. This life in this world gets a little better and a lot easier to live if we all within this one body can do that for one another. The last big point I want to make in this, we're commanded to be one. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, if you'll turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. But if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater glory to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, the members individually. You know, I've already read verse 25 there in a prior thing, the ideal of taking and having that care for one another. We will have better care one for another if we understand that every single part of the body is just as important as I am. And in some cases, if you read that, some are more than I am. And if you get that attitude within yourself of not being so full of pride, but thinking that I need every other person in this building, and I need to be there for every other person in this building, we'll have a better go at life. Acts 4, verse 32. Individuals here in the first century church there at Jerusalem, as it was just starting out, they understood that. It says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They understood that. They understood that they needed each other. Some had things to give, some had nothing. But they understood, okay, I don't need to keep all my stuff, and they're nobodies. I don't even know who some of these are. No, they understood that they had obeyed the gospel of Christ. They understood that each understood the magnitude of what had been done on their behalf by Jesus who died upon the cross, and they took care of one another. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 3 through 7. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Each one of us received the same gift. Each one of us has the same blessing. And we need to think of each other as one. I am one with you, and you should be one with me. And we should all be trying to get ourselves to heaven and each other to heaven. And that is going to take with you bearing with me and me bearing with you. Me caring for you, you caring for me. Like I said, this is the last step in the process that I was going to do with this series. We started with the milk of the word, the ideal of being a babe in Christ, just like a babe that we would have, that when they're first born, you got to do everything for them. You pack them, you hold them, you care for them, you feed them, you do all these things. But as that child, we start maturing. We get where we can crawl. You know, we can start making some headway. And then we get where we can walk. We can get up and start walking on our two feet, but we're unsteady. We're unstable. We got to continue to learn. We got to continue to add. We got to continue to start bearing this fruit that the Lord expects for. And then we're actually up and walking on our own two feet. But that is not enough to say, okay, I'm standing on my own two feet. We got to follow through with this last part, the last set of commands we definitely have on the maturing Christian. And that is to be able to bear for one another, to care for one another, to lift, to sustain, to take care of one another. We all have to grow and get to that point. In conclusion, as we grow and mature, we should get to the point where we can lift burdens from others. We've got to get there. We've got to be there. And that doesn't mean that you've added everything we've talked about in all these lessons to get there. Sometimes I get the most from some of the youngest Christians. Their viewpoint, their ideas, the way they see things, I get more from them than sometimes even the older ones that's been in the church for a long time. Why? Because they're in the process of that first growth. They've got a zeal. They have that earnest desire for truth. And that can be the refreshing thing for an older Christian, to get revitalized, to get that fire stirred back up within them. We need to understand the lifting of the burdens. They can be physical. Sometimes that's just being there for one another, like the big storm went through. You know, I made sure my chainsaw was filled up, the gas cans were filled up, because I know there's some here that's not able to clean their yards and cut stuff out to be ready for that. Sometimes that's the physical. Be there for one another physically and take care of the physical things of life. Sometimes that's emotional, needing to talk things out, discuss problems, issues, whatever it is. And sometimes that's even financial, like Acts 4, where they sold things to take care of others. That can be it financially. And if we grow to be mature, we understand what's mine is not mine. What I have, God has blessed me with, and He's blessed me so I can bless others with it. If we have added the proper things to ourselves, all these things that we've talked about adding, like kindness, love, and compassion, then we will have a desire to help. The question I'll leave you with this morning, do you have a desire to bear the burdens of others? As a mature child of God, you must have that desire. Maybe that's another thing you got to add. I know it's something I need to work on. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, then the invitation is to you. If you know exactly what the Lord has required, that milk of the word we discussed at the beginning of this series, if you understand everything that God has put in place, everything that's been done on your behalf, the great lifelong commitment that you are willing to make that this morning. Or maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but you've drifted back into the world. You've left your brothers and sisters. You've left your Father in heaven. You've left the sacrifice that was made for you to go and do and live another way. But you understand the wrong of that and you're willing to correct that this morning. Then do so. If it's of a private nature, make it right with God. Ask His forgiveness. Repent of those things. Turn from them and leave them behind you to be what God expects you to be. If it's of a public nature, then do so publicly. Take and ask forgiveness and let the prayers be made for you. If we can help in either case,